This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, first of all, let me just say that President Trump noticed that when he was in office, we did not have the world on fire. We did not have a war in the Middle East and a war in Europe and war threatening to break out in East Asia. President Trump was the candidate of peace and prosperity. He delivered peace all over the world. He would do it again if he was president of the United States. Now, what's going on in Israel, again, highlights the weakness of the Kamala Harris administration. Kamala Harris is a person who says she wants the war in Israel to be over with, and also that she wants to minimize civilian casualties. Well, I want those things too. Then why isn't she giving Israel the weapons it needs to minimize civilian casualties? And why isn't she giving Israel the weapons it needs to end this conflict quickly? The best thing for the United States of America is for Israel to end its war, to destroy Hamas, and then to rebuild the Abraham Accords of President Trump.
I mean, that sounds pretty sensible to me and pretty important as well. J.D. Vance today continues to have these rallies that he morphs into, all right, ask me whatever you want. And then he stands up there and he very sensibly answers each question that the reporter asks him. And when he does it, it's not bombastic. He's not trying to throw gasoline on the fire. He's just trying to get clarity out there on where the Trump Vance ticket is on the issues, and of course how that compares to the Kamala Harris Walls version of the ticket.
He said this today. I was at the National Association of Black Journalists conference last week, where President Trump made some attacks on Vice President Harris's biracial heritage. You're married to an Indian American woman. You have biracial children. How do you explain his attacks, and what is your reaction to his attacks as a father of biracial children?
Yes, sir.
So I am the father of biracial children. Actually, my wife is here today. My kids are back home with my aunt today. And look, I was not bothered at all by what President Trump said, and I didn't take it as an attack on Kamala Harris's biracial background at all. What I took it as was an attack on Kamala Harris being a chameleon. She pretends to be one thing when she's in front of one audience. She pretends to be something else when she's in front of another audience. And I think he was observing the basic foundational reality that Kamala Harris pretends to be something different depending on which audience she's speaking to.
And that's the truth. When you listen to Kamala Harris and she's in front of one audience versus another, she changes who she is, or she changes how she presents herself, what she prioritizes about herself. People call it code switching, as if that's not a new concept, but she's doing it to curry political favor. She was asked about the economy on The View, and this was her answer to these
voters. Voters want to hear about issues affecting their lives, like the economy and the border. Should the campaign be pivoting on its messaging?
So there's no doubt that one of the first issues that anyone will think of is the issue they think of when they're at their kitchen table trying to pay their bills, which is, how is the economy treating them? So there's no question whatsoever that that is an important issue, which we have been in the process of addressing. We still need to do more.
In the process of addressing, you caused this. This is of your own making. If you're in the middle of addressing it, then I can only assume that it's going to get worse, because the way it is right now, Kamala Harris, is part of your current administration that you are a part of. So if you're saying that it's something that you're addressing or in the middle of working on, it's on you. And I think that the voters out there are realizing that.
I would not separate that from the issue of what is at stake in terms of hard democracy. And frankly,
And here we go with the democracy thing. So people are out there trying to figure out how to afford the groceries in their cart, how to fill up their gas tank, how to make the home purchase that they need so they can stop feeling like they're throwing their money away while they're renting. They want to own a home. It's a very American thing to work hard and be able to own an affordable home. They want to be able to do these things. Like I said a few days ago, they want to be able to get ahead. It's about money. But of course, we've got to bring in the key pillar issue of the Democratic Party right now and make sure that everybody is scared that democracy is at stake.
I think most people don't think of it in the context of democracy as much as freedom. the freedom of a woman to make decisions about her own body.
So, I mean, imagine this. People are going, you know, Vice President Harris, Madam Vice President Harris, it's hard for me to afford what I need to afford to support myself and my family. It's very difficult for me to feed my family and know that I'm going to have enough money at the end of the month to pay the bills. I need to be able to move into a home that accommodates my family. I can't afford it right now. And it's a lot harder to do that now than when Donald Trump was president. And she says, don't you care about your right to choose? Isn't that the biggest middle finger to these people right now who are, you know, honestly, there is a much broader access to abortion in a lot of places in this country. Hate to say it, because of Donald Trump. Because the actual constitutional way of addressing legislation on something like abortion isn't on the Supreme Court to create. They're not legislators. But how, I mean, if you're a Republican and you are pro-life and you're dealing with economic issues right now, does she care about that? If you have a different opinion on the right to choose?
No. I don't get the sense that she cares about anything unless you are kind of part of her circle. Then, yeah, I care about you, but I care about you long enough. Democrats do this a lot. I guess politicians do this in general. I care about you long enough to get your vote. I understand that you're a politician, but I don't get the sense that she has an answer to many important questions, which is why I don't really think she's giving you the middle finger so much as that she doesn't really even understand what her own position is on these issues. So she kind of defaults to these other talking points that she's more comfortable with, even though you're not asking that question at all.
She had more answer for the problem with the economy. Maybe she
The freedom to love who you love openly and with pride.
I can't afford to feed my family, but what if you turn gay? You'd be able to love them publicly and pridefully if I'm in charge.
Yeah, that's exactly what I mean about her circle. Like, if you're in this circle, you're good with me. If you're not, you are not okay with me.
I want to be like, okay, what if the gay lover needs to eat a sandwich?
Well, these are real questions.
Yeah, like, stay focused here.
Yes.
But she's in The View. Do they
freedom
push back?
To be able to be free from gun violence.
Oh!
These are fundamental freedoms that are at stake right now. The freedom to have access to the ballot.
Freedom and family, family and freedom, freedom and family, family and freedom. They're going to push that down your face. They're going to shove it down your throat and they're going to try to make it. It's just a way to engage the mechanism for all of the influencers who yap a lot more and scream a lot louder than the actual numbers of the masses are, to make it seem like if you're on the Republican side of the aisle and you're like, I kind of feel like we're the family interested party. I kind of feel like we're the ones who are interested in small government and freedom, even if sometimes the Republican Party doesn't reflect the small government that we're interested in. Like, still, core value, limited government, small government, championing parents' decisions to raise their kids the way they want to and send them to a Lutheran school if they want to. I mean, which of these parties is going to take the money that you spend on education, the property taxes that you spend right now, regardless of whether you're sending children into a school or not? Which of these parties thinks that you should have access to the very dollars that you have earned at your job that go to property taxes that you pay to educate a different child, that if you choose to not put your kid in that public school classroom, which really brings down the teacher-student ratio into a better thing for the whole, that if while you're paying those property taxes, while you're paying them, you're not saying I shouldn't have to pay any property taxes. You're not saying I don't want to fund public education. You're just saying while one of the educateds is my child, maybe my money should actually go to the education of my child. And the people in the Lutheran school are doing a heck of a better job than the people in the public school. And I choose that for my kid. Which of the parties is going to support your right to use your money to educate your child the way you want them to be educated? It ain't Kamala Harris at all. And she will meet you at every one of those decisions and tell you what you should do. And if you say, no, I think I'd rather do that, she'll just tell you you're wrong.
Or ramble. She probably won't even stay on topic. That's the thing about Kamala Harris, is that with most politicians, a good leftist politician, I would say, we would say, why aren't you doing difficult interviews. You're doing all friendly interviews. Why don't you do something on, not even Fox News, why don't you try News Nation or something? Just do somebody that's not going to be...
Go with sort of based Cuomo.
Yeah, like just anything like that.
He wants to make a splash.
Yeah. You don't have to do... Like, with her, though, it's not even that she has to do... I'm not asking her to do News Nation. I'm not asking her to do Fox News. Just do interviews. You can go all in friendly territory because this is what happens.
Every time she goes in front of The View and they're like, man, it's really hard for people to live in this economy. And she's like, abortion, that is important for people to see.
It is very important.
That she doesn't have the answers.
Go on CBS. Go on The View. Do interviews with Rachel Maddow for I don't care.
I'm not watching those.
I will watch those.
I mean, you can
I'll
do
watch
those.
Them for you.
I'm not watching those.
But just do interviews, please, because she needs to be speaking to somebody. Right now, she's not speaking to anybody. She's just reading off the teleprompter like Joe Biden. She does it a little bit better because she's got about 30 years on him, but she's not saying anything.
Did you hear Tammy Bruce suggest that maybe she's got like a...
It's the first time I've thought about
thing.
That. There's a disconnect between what comes out of her mouth and what I think she wants to be saying, and that there is something there.
When I was watching just portions of her speech yesterday when they were introducing the Harris Walls ticket, I was watching her try so hard to do the thing she's supposed to do and not do the thing she's not supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's still difficult to consume.
There are people who are trying to train her out of her natural instincts.
And that is not specific to Kamala. That is everybody who has ever run for any sort of prominent office ever. They are going to study you and repeatedly tell you about all the things about you that you are not good at and need to stop doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Kamala's are bigger, more in-your-face things that are larger problems than maybe somebody who says... who up-talks or something like that at the end all the time.
And one of the things that Tammy Bruce kind of alluded to here, too, is that she said, and most of those people who've been telling her those things have been fired.
Yeah.
So she's not listening and she's not doing them. Although at this moment, I think they've convinced her, look, hey, if you can just do 2.5 months of nothing, you might be okay. And so far, that's what she's doing.
A lot of people in the chat are talking about Tampon Tim. He fought very hard to put tampons in the men's room. Now, I'm just going to say this for clarity. So people, if you didn't, I think most of you get this. And I understand the absurdity and why people call it, like, say that it's obnoxious and ridiculous. Like, why would a men's room ever need tampons? Because biological men don't need tampons, obviously. But we have to go along with the idea that women who menstruate, who identify as men, will now use the men's bathroom and may possibly need a tampon. That's why there are tampons in men's restroom. They don't think that you, Ryan, are one day going to go, oh, really? It's that time of the month and you're going to need one. That's not why they're in there. They're not for you, Ryan.
Let me just say, the one time that I did walk into a bathroom, I don't remember where this was, and I saw a tampon machine.
You've seen it?
In a men's bathroom, I did start to question whether or not it might be that time of the month for me. It didn't last long.
Did it make you feel things irrationally?
Yeah. I thought, uh-oh.
Did you have strong emotions that made you
want to... Is this happening to me now? Now, quickly, I realized, no, that's not possible, so I put it aside. But it did make me question that. And so I think that Tim is asking the nation. Maybe you ask yourself that question right now.
I bring this up because I wanted to read on the air Natalie Winter's tweet that said, tampons in the boys' room, in the boys' bathroom is also kind of stolen valor, to be honest. And I thought, you're darn freaking right it is.
I when I saw it, I really wish I remember where it was. I thought, okay, this is a new era now.
In my mind, boys are just like, let's check these things out.
I mean, there is a little bit of a curiosity. Yeah. But I also wanted to destroy the machine with a bat.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's
so
your
timing. Maybe I should do that.
Were you eating candy and chocolate at the same time?
I don't know that I was, but based on percentages, I probably was.
But you don't know that you weren't.
There's a likelihood that he was.
I mean, I do that a lot, so I'll say yes. I love eating walking into the bathroom.
Did you have a little breakout on your face?
Ah, hey, a big chocolate bunny. Let's head into the restroom.
Everything your wife was doing that day just seemed like the absolute wrong way to do it, and you thought, I should tell him.
No, None of that's true.
One day, you should just go to your wife and say, I'm going to treat you the way I think you act when you're on your... in that time of month, and then give her back what you think you get and see how that goes. I just don't think that men understand. Like, it's all a joke to men. And then guys like Tim Walz come in and they're like, I got an idea. Let's put tampons in the men's room, which 99 plus out of 100 men are going to go into that bathroom and have both of those conflicting thoughts. This could be fun, and I hate this.
Yes.
At the same time.
Yes.
Also, that he can get on a stage when he's the vice presidential candidate and stump for the fact that he's for these people. And it's not about those people. It's about the idea that if you are with him, then you're loving. If you're not with him, you are a hateful, bigoted person.
And look, jokes aside, leftists who hear that typically don't go, yeah, I'm in support of that, but they do defend it by saying something along the lines of, why would we be hateful? Why is it wrong to just be accepting? Because it's not acceptance that is being pushed here by somebody like Tim Walz. This is a governor of a state pushing top-down advocacy for you to now think about, maybe you should consider this. This has nothing to do with acceptance. This has everything to do with pushing a very big social agenda onto everyone.
You don't even know this. And I've never heard anyone say this or suggest this, but men wouldn't know this. I can probably count on one hand how many times I've utilized a feminine product machine in a bathroom. Nobody has a quarter on them.
I've never used one.
Here, when you go into, if you're a woman and you are in that time of the month where you need a tampon, you have it yourself. There are times when it comes up and maybe it catches you by surprise that afternoon and you might need one. I've personally, this is just completely anecdotal. I don't go into the bathroom and hope that I don't expect that. There's no expectation on my part as a been 5 times pregnant, menstruating female, that when my period starts, that I better go in the bathroom and have a tampon. There is 0.0 infinity 0% of me that expects that to be there, that has that expectation of that needing to be provided. So why the hell do they need to be in men's rooms? I've thought before to myself, you know, we provide toilet paper. Like, it's an understanding that when you go into a restroom, that toilet paper is going to be there. It's a necessity. And honestly, from a female perspective, so are the other things. There are options. Those are necessities. But there is no guaranteed expectation that that is going to be provided to you. So what you do is you always have some with you. And you have an idea, probably not always, of when that's going to happen. And you take care of yourself. But no, not in Minnesota for transgender men. I really wonder how many, maybe they've completely covered all of their bases here. But I really wonder if every public female restroom in Minnesota has tampons in it. Because I bet it doesn't.
That's a really good point. And you're right. I never would have thought of that.
No, I haven't until right now. But just like the idea that that's something that somebody is owed. We don't freaking do that for women, let alone menstruating men. Ugh. I identify as not right now, but menstruating man who uses the women's restroom, tampons now.
You know, I love talking about this topic. But
Thank
then
you.
It gets a little too close to home, and I get real uncomfortable. And I'm like,
You're like, you're really not?
I don't know.
Should we go to a break?
Yeah, we should.
Should we have 3 minutes ago?
No, I like that you made that point.
Do you have a problem with me? Am I bothering you?
You know what?
Did I do something to upset you?
You're fine. I need to go away, not to the bathroom. I just need to go, let you have this next segment, and I'll be right back.
So you're going
to
just leave me?
Ah, shoot.
I can do this all day. We'll be right back. Where the car broke down.
Yellow dog school bus, kicking up red dust, kicking us up.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
MTV on the RCA, no AC in the vents. We were Jesus, Sammy, blue jean baby.
Find the podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm so all done tonight.
Well, keeping on that note.
Which note?
If you were just listening, we're talking about, what are we calling him? Tampon Tim?
Yeah, Tampon Tim.
If a man can't communicate his true feelings, he'll do these 9 things instead.
Oh, great.
How are you at communicating feelings and emotions, Ryan? Like, like not, shut up. not like here, but in life when it really counts. Do you show your emotions before you communicate your emotions?
I am told that I wear my emotions on my sleeve.
I would agree with that.
And so if I'm ever not doing well, everybody probably knows it. I'm not very good at hiding it. And
emotions are good and bad. So are you the same on the high side?
Yeah.
You're kind of giddy.
I kind of am always in a pretty good mood, which is why I am who I am on the radio and in life. It's not much of a difference.
Are you good at communicating your emotions, Brad?
Yeah, I can communicate them. I just don't do it that often.
So does that mean you're good at it?
Well, I'm not bad at it.
Okay. Number one, he becomes unusually quiet. Silence can be deafening, especially when it's out of character. A man who might usually be quite chatty and outgoing may become unusually quiet when he's struggling to articulate his feelings. What do you think about that?
Not me, but Brad, yes. That's why they call him Silent but Deadly.
Like, oh no, when he gets quiet, he's about to communicate his emotions.
Nobody accuses you of being silent.
No, I just let him fly.
Or deadly.
Do you... You don't become quiet? If you're mad, is it out there, Jerry? I don't even know Seinfeld. I just know the references.
I don't know. I think I probably get a little bit more internalized when I'm going through something. But I do so in a way, and I don't intend to do this, that while I'm internally processing it, everybody's like, you seem way different. I'm like, yeah, that's probably true.
Is that helpful?
Not always. No. I mean, sometimes you're just like, let me just get through a couple days of something, and I can't hide it. But
do you want people, if people notice that you're acting off, do you want someone to say, Ryan, what's going on?
I want the people, the very closest to me, to do that. Outside of that, not really. I'd rather just kind of get through it.
Where do Brad and I fall on that?
Gosh, I don't know. Outside, I would say outside, you guys outside, would be outside, on the very outside. Inside. Oh, so, yeah, I want you guys to ask.
What
and
about
ask
you?
Frequently.
What about,
and
yeah.
Keep pressing.
Okay, I'm trying to do a show. What about you, Brad? If you're, do you get quiet?
Yeah. I pull back because whatever it is that I'm feeling, I'm trying to work my way through it, trying to figure out if it's a me problem or if it's a somebody else problem.
This says, this silence isn't intended to create distance or confusion. Instead, it's a protective measure. By staying quiet, he avoids the risk of saying the wrong thing or exposing vulnerabilities he's not ready to share.
Yeah, I don't want to make anybody mad when I shouldn't be making them mad just because I'm in a bad mood or upset or something.
Well, great. He's going through one right now.
Do you want, if that's happening, do you want people to ask you about it? Be like, wow, how did you say people say it to you? You seem different.
Yeah. Something's going on with you.
That's like when I don't wear makeup, people are like, you look tired. And yeah. I'm like, it's just my face.
It's not people. It's just I. Just me. Just I.
Do you want people to call it out or call attention to it?
No, not really.
Do you want Ryan to call attention to it?
He does anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, I do.
This is your chance to say no, Ryan.
No, I'm going to just let him spring that trap.
Okay. Number two, he becomes more attentive. In my own experience, I found that when I'm wrestling with my emotions, I tend to become more attentive towards other persons involved. I remember once not knowing how to express my feelings of love towards a close friend. Instead of talking about it, I found myself doing little things like remembering her favorite coffee order or texting her good morning and good night every day. Ooh.
Yikes. It's a little much. Good morning.
Yeah, this is not just about being upset. Emotions are there's a full slate of different things you can feel, obviously. If you're feeling extra emotional about something, do you become more attentive to it?
Yes, I do.
What about this show?
No, I'm pretty detached from this. I make great points, and then I just kind of walk away. Kind of like a leave it.
Like a sage.
Yeah, leave it. Let people kind of taste it and smell it, and I leave.
Did you ever watch CSI Miami?
I never watched any of the CIA.
I think his name is Horatio. He's got red hair, and he wears sunglasses. And the whole series is just him walking into scenes, saying something, putting his sunglasses on, and leaving.
Yep.
That's pretty cool.
Led Zeppelin hits, and he's out.
Yeah, he goes, wow! What's that song? Who are you?
Don't Get Fooled Again.
Yeah, we don't get fooled again by the Who.
They
call that the pigeon approach to things. You fly by, you take a dump on it, and you fly away.
This is the most foul series of comments that you've made on the show in 1 hour ever.
Foul. That's funny. Because I was talking about birds.
He avoids eye contact. Eye contact is an incredibly powerful form of nonverbal communication. It can convey a multitude of emotions, from love and affection to anger and discomfort. Do you ever have problems with eye contact? Don't make a joke. Just answer the question. Stop it. Just answer the gosh darn question.
Can't watch that. Watch
I
that.
I said what I
said. You
said
gosh darn. All right.
Well, that's because you guys can't see this listening on the radio, but I ask him this question, and there's this whole facial process that unfolds in about 3.5 seconds where he's like, they're going to love this.
Ryan's
and
really...
I can't have a conversation with my co-host on the show because it's all yuck, yuck. Yuck.
Ryan's very good at nonverbal communication.
What was the question about eye contact?
You weren't even paying attention.
I'm great at it.
Look, I'm looking straight at you.
How do you feel about this right now?
I'm not very happy.
Guys, this is radio.
It's a staring contest, though.
It doesn't matter.
You blinked.
Done!
It's on video, too. can we go to New York for that one? Number four, he picks up new hobbies. When a man is unable to articulate his feelings, he might try to distract himself with new activities or hobbies. If you're really upset about something, do you need to like busy yourself to get through it?
Yeah, I'm better off if I do. But I don't like picking up new hobbies. I like the old ones. I like old video games and writing a poem.
What video game? When's the last time you played a video game?
Well, I play old Nintendo games. So one of those emulators that has like 1,000 games on it. I just do that.
A Nintendo Switch?
That would probably be fine, too. But I have one of those little ones that you bought at the mall for Christmas.
Okay.
For yourself.
Yeah, for myself.
Do you busy yourself, Brad?
Yeah, but it's not new hobbies. I don't look for, like, busy work to do. I find one of, like Ryan was saying, one of his hobbies. Mine actually is gaming.
With the intention to distract?
No, to stress relief.
I'm a dweller. I'm going to figure out what it is, how to get to the other side of it until I arrive at the other side. I don't need distractions. Unless it's something you can't fix.
That's what I was going to say, because a lot of those things are things that you don't really have control over, and that's why they're bothering you. Because otherwise, you'd address the problem.
Yeah, that's true. Number five, he becomes more protective. When a man is grappling with his emotions, he might subconsciously become more protective. This isn't just about physical safety, but also about his emotional well-being. Whether it's walking you home late at night, checking up on you when you're unwell, or even defending you in a heated argument, these actions are a way of expressing care or concern. In regards to emotions that you might have towards somebody else in your life, a loved one, I've watched my dearest loved ones go through very unfair things and felt way more irrational thoughts than I would have felt if it were me.
Yeah, yes. Especially on behalf of your kids.
Why is he giggling like that?
I don't know. It seems like we maybe hit a nerve.
No. Yeah, because I know exactly what she's talking about there. The irrational feelings, like, no, you don't get to do that. That is my, husband, my wife, whoever. You don't get to do that, and I will go off the rails and go to jail for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, without being too specific, I have wanted
my way.
right where I'm going. I've wanted to have a few conversations with a few people in my Ife ways life.
I'm not going to, you don't even get to respond to this. Don't respond to this for your own well-being.
I'm closing my eyes and my ears.
In the movie It's a Wonderful Life, when Jimmy Stewart comes back to the house and he's all angry and he's yelling at everybody and his kids are asking him how to spell frankincense and they're playing Hark the Herald Angels Sing over and over and over again, and he finds out that Zuzu has a fever and that Zuzu got sent home from school and didn't button up her coat. And so he calls her Zuzu's teacher and reams Zuzu's teacher for being like a terrible teacher and awful. And then the husband of the teacher calls Jimmy Stewart back and threatens him and all that, and don't respond. I'm just saying that's the thing that happened in the movies. Number six, he listens more intently. Listening is an art. And when a man is unable to express his feelings, he may become a better artist. I think that this is kind of something that goes along with being quiet. Like if you spend more time listening than talking, do you ever do that?
Yeah, I think I'm doing it right now.
And see, we're doing this again. We're back. We're right back to where we started.
Listening is an art. Yes. That is maybe the first and greatest lesson that you learn when you get married. Is
how many years does it take?
It's not fast, because your instinct, and it's a good instinct, is to want to step in, to fix. To talk, to whatever. You want to get it done. Get it done, and you're doing it with the best intentions possible.
And that's a lot of times, the hard thing for women to understand, because that's how men are. Men are fixers. I have a tendency to do that, I think, more than most females do. I just want to fix the problem because I want to get past the problem. And it might seem dismissive of the emotions that exist in that moment, because you're like, oh, you just want to fix this and move on? Like, don't you care about my feelings?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot there, but you do have to give the other person in the situation the moment of time to be heard.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do you have, Katie's not listening, is she?
Nope.
Do you have like a fake, affirmative, compassionate head nod?
If I do, it's subconscious, because there are times where, and I like that she does this. She wants to tell me about her day at the end of the day. And I'm glad that she does, because otherwise I'm like, well, I want to feel like you care, and you want to get this stuff out. So I will listen, but there are certain things that I know this has no bearing on my life. It has no bearing on tomorrow.
You're only there for the sake of letting her say it.
Yeah. And I completely understand that. It's completely fine. So I probably do have some nonverbal things that I'm doing the whole time that I'm like, yes, I'm listening, but I'm not fully engaged. The problem is that if I show that I'm not fully engaged, that she knows it.
Does she say something?
And then she'll kind of back away. Not to be mean, but she'll just kind of, she knows I've not fully engaged in the conversation. And she'll do the same to me, and it does drive me crazy.
Do you regale her with wonderful stories from your work day with us?
I do. But they're fantastical.
She's probably like, I'll just listen to the podcast.
I always start with, Katie, today we enlightened the people.
Meanwhile, she's educating the youth of America with actual helpful
and she's
things.
Like, wow. And she's just fascinated by that. But I've always overused it.
I haven't mentioned this recently, but we are all married to school teachers.
Yes.
So anytime it seems like we're going in a little extra hard on teachers, it's because we love them. Mm-hmm. The mostest. There's a couple more on this list. We need to take a break. I'll get to them when we come back. More ways that men handle emotions and feelings and what they do if they're struggling to communicate them. Check your notes and see if you compare to these the same way Brad and Ryan do. Quick break, and we'll get the results of the poll. Grade the Missouri primary elections. That's on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. Leave a comment. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. So we were talking about, before we wrap up this poll about the Missouri primary, Ryan was just talking to you about, we were talking about ways that men express their emotions or maybe don't express their emotions. I think that this is one of the topics that a lot of times gets talked about in, you know, if you're discussing toxic masculinity, the idea that you should be more expressive of your emotions, that you should be more willing to like sit down and talk about it. I think it was even talked about in that White Dudes for Harris for Kamala video. There was something like the thought that we could sit down as white men and talk about our feelings and support. And I'm like, to me, it's not so much that you're talking about it, it's that you're talking about it.
Yeah.
Like, do you need a hug?
I don't know.
It's incredibly off-putting to me.
It's just when a bunch of Hollywood stars get together to support Kamala Harris and then they lead with things like that. I don't know. It doesn't make me want to watch those movies as much. I like some of those actors, but they drive me crazy.
I'm a big fan of detaching. Like, I don't want to know what Ben Stiller says about anything. I still want to watch Night at the Museum.
Exactly. You're like, just leave me alone. I like you. Based on what you've done, you've made me like you because your characters are fun.
Yeah.
I don't need anything else.
Hit the pause button there.
Yeah, just do that.
Regarding emotions and how men communicate them, the last two on this list are he starts to withdraw or he gets defensive. Are you one to withdraw or get defensive?
Yeah, I think both of those probably. Withdraw is the easiest one to do, and then get defensive if I have to talk about it and it's something I don't want to talk about.
I don't get defensive, but I think that withdrawing goes along with that getting quiet kind of thing.
The quiet is withdrawal. I think withdrawal may be the extra step of being quiet. Like momentarily, you're thinking, I don't really want to talk about this and I'm not really in a good mood. And then after that, you're like, I don't even want to ever talk about it again. So you kind of pull back from something like that. Do you think that men could do a better job of communicating emotion?
That's a tough question because we talk about this stuff so much in our modern society that you almost, that the pendulum is kind of like, it's not even swinging both ways. It's like, I don't know which way it's swinging. Like, it's not just swinging left, right, and it's gone too far one direction. It's like it's swinging in 3D. it's all over the place.
I don't know that it helps anything. I don't, like, I've communicated emotions, I've expressed emotions. I don't know that it's ever made a difference in whatever I was feeling.
But good communication does help. And if you can kind of identify something and say, look, this is the problem, that's great.
Isn't it important to communicate your emotions about something, especially if we're talking like across genders? But I mean, what even is that? If you're talking to somebody, a female specifically, like if somebody can understand your emotions about something, they might be more willing to accept your perspective if they understand how you're feeling about it. Like the feelings and the emotions around something give you more context.
I think what drives me crazy in the communication about these things is having to admit, especially to somebody like my wife, that I have a flaw.
I think that's very relatable for most men.
It's so annoying because I just want to be like, I'm not a problem. I am the one who fixes the problems. Don't focus on me. Let's focus on fixing the problems. And if I'm the source of a problem, it drives me nuts.
And because I know your wife and she's amazing and my best friend, if I would assume that when you're having these conversations, you are projecting on yourself more that she's seeing you as inadequate than she's feeling about you being inadequate at all. That you're really just trying to solve a specific problem.
Yeah.
And you're feeling it like it's inadequacy. And she's not at all intending to make you feel that way. You're wrapped up in the inadequate feelings and she's trying to convey something else. So it kind of becomes a blockade.
Yeah. Yes.
Your wife, she thinks you're great. She, if anybody is entertained by Ryan Wiggins, it's Mrs. Wiggins. And it's exactly as it should be. That's a very good thing.
That's true.
Grade the Missouri primary results. Grade them, Ryan, quickly.
I give it a B, C.
Brad, what do you think?
I voted an A. I thought it was a good time.
Okay. Well, 3% of y'all said F, 5% said D, 22% gave it an A, and 69% gave it a B/C. So 92% pretty satisfied with the Missouri primary yesterday. Thank you for voting. We'll have another poll for you tomorrow. And up next, the guy who basically worked all day is back once again. Mark Reardon takes over from here. Don't go away. So we were talking about, before we wrap up this poll, about the Missouri primary, Ryan was just talking to you about, we were talking about ways that men express their emotions or maybe don't express their emotions. I think that this is one of the topics that a lot of times gets talked about in, you know, if you're discussing toxic masculinity, the idea that you should be more expressive of your emotions, that you should be more willing to like sit down and talk about it. I think it was even talked about in that White Dudes for Harris for Kamala video. There was something like the thought that we could sit down as white men and talk about our feelings and support. And I'm like, to me, it's not so much that you're talking about it, it's that you're talking about it.
Yeah.
Like, do you need a hug?
I don't know.
It's incredibly off-putting to me.
It's just when a bunch of Hollywood stars get together to support Kamala Harris and then they lead with things like that. I don't know. It doesn't make me want to watch those movies as much. I like some of those actors, but they drive me crazy.
I'm a big fan of detaching. Like, I don't want to know what Ben Stiller says about anything. I still want to watch Night at the Museum.
Exactly. You're like, just leave me alone. I like you. Based on what you've done, you've made me like you because your characters are fun.
Yeah.
I don't need anything else.
Hit the pause button there.
Yeah, just do that.
Regarding emotions and how men communicate them, the last two on this list are he starts to withdraw or he gets defensive. Are you one to withdraw or get defensive?
Yeah, I think both of those probably. Withdraw is the easiest one to do, and then get defensive if I have to talk about it and it's something I don't want to talk about.
I don't get defensive, but I think that withdrawing goes along with that getting quiet kind of thing.
The quiet is withdrawal. I think withdrawal may be the extra step of being quiet. Like momentarily, you're thinking, I don't really want to talk about this and I'm not really in a good mood. And then after that, you're like, I don't even want to ever talk about it again. So you kind of pull back from something like that. Do you think that men could do a better job of communicating emotion?
That's a tough question because we talk about this stuff so much in our modern society that you almost, the pendulum is kind of like, it's not even swinging both ways. It's like, I don't know which way it's swinging. Like, it's not just swinging left, right, and it's gone too far one direction. It's like it's swinging in 3D. it's all over the place.
I don't know that it helps anything. I don't, like, I've communicated emotions, I've expressed emotions. I don't know that it's ever made a difference in whatever I was feeling.
But good communication does help. And if you can kind of identify something and say, look, this is the problem, that's great.
Isn't it important to communicate your emotions about something, especially if we're talking like across genders? But I mean, what even is that? If you're talking to somebody, a female specifically, like if somebody can understand your emotions about something, they might be more willing to accept your perspective if they understand how you're feeling about it. Like the feelings and the emotions around something give you more context.
I think what drives me crazy in the communication about these things is having to admit, especially to somebody like my wife, that I have a flaw.
I think that's very relatable for most men.
It's so annoying because I just want to be like, I'm not a problem. I am the one who fixes the problems. Don't focus on me. Let's focus on fixing the problems. And if I'm the source of a problem, it drives me nuts.
And because I know your wife and she's amazing and my best friend, if I would assume that when you're having these conversations, you are projecting on yourself more that she's seeing you as inadequate than she's feeling about you being inadequate at all. That you're really just trying to solve a specific problem.
Yeah.
And you're feeling it like it's inadequacy. And she's not at all intending to make you feel that way. You're wrapped up in the inadequate feelings and she's trying to convey something else. So it kind of becomes a blockade.
Yeah. Yes.
Your wife, she thinks you're great. She, if anybody is entertained by Ryan Wiggins, it's Mrs. Wiggins. And it's exactly as it should be. That's a very good thing.
That's true.
Grade the Missouri primary results. Grade them, Ryan, quickly.
I get a B, C.
Brad, what do you think?
I voted an A. I thought it was a good time.
Okay. Well, 3% of y'all said F, 5% said D, 22% gave it an A, and 69% gave it a B/C. So 92% pretty satisfied with the Missouri primary yesterday. Thank you for voting. We'll have another poll for you tomorrow. And up next, the guy who basically worked all day is back once again. Mark Reardon takes over from here. Don't go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.